Friends, as I announced at the beginning of the service, next Sunday we gather for worship at the Ancaster Fair. Now think about this for a moment. This is the 167th Ancaster Fair. Very much parallels the lifespan of this congregation. Both have had a place in the center of this community. Now, the Ancaster Fair has not always been situated quite as close to us physically as it is now, but people from this community have been involved in that fair probably from the very beginning. I know that a number of you here have participated in various ways of leadership in the fair. Now, since the fair is next week, I suppose they should get started planning, shouldn't they? Well, that's humorous, of course. We know full well that the planning of any event, especially one as complicated as a fair that engages volunteers from the community and people who come just for the occasion, entails a considerable amount of work. I have no actual idea of how long some elements of this year's fair have been in the planning. But some, probably for a considerable period of time, and other aspects of the fair have been built on a pattern that has been created over decades. And I'm sure the process is that, you know, each day, each year at least, the events of the fair are kind of reviewed afterwards, and decisions are made about what could be strengthened and what could be changed and what could be different and what could be better. Because when events happen, there's planning involved. And there's planning involved in your personal life too, of course. About all sorts of seemingly sometimes small and incidental things. I want to talk about planning and preparedness this morning, but not to organize an event, but to apply the same sort of concept to our spiritual lives. What sort of plan do you have for your spiritual life? Think about that. We'll come back to it in a moment. You know, because you do have plans for other things. You have a plan as to when you're going to get your vehicle serviced. Incidental, nevertheless important. You have a plan probably about what you're going to do with the rest of today. Maybe not earth-shattering things, but you have some idea of what's intended in your world. We all like to eat. You have a plan for making sure that you have food in your cupboard. You make a shopping list. Plan. These are just ordinary things, but we take them for granted. And if we can make plans about things of that sort, how could we possibly go along not having a plan for where we're headed spiritually? God had a plan, you know. There was a sense of preparation on God's part. What did John the Baptist come repeating? Prepare the way of the Lord. There were things that were now unfolding that were critical to the spiritual life of God's people. And John the Baptist was the voice announcing that those events were coming to a specific and momentous time. And the scriptures repeatedly talk of how God had a plan for his people and how it unfolded. And so here we are. We need a plan too. As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, what's our plan? What do we hope to do next? Where are we going spiritually? I mean, we don't just get up in the morning and sit down in a chair, eat our breakfast and sit down in a chair and say, I'm going to let life happen to me. We have things that we feel need to be done, ought to be done, and we should set about doing them. And if we don't really have a plan, then we need to begin formulating one. And you see, so it is with our spiritual lives. If we don't have a plan, then it's kind of like we get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for today. I'm going to sit here and just wait it out. Now, a plan for our spiritual life may be fairly simple. Doesn't have to account for every eventuality. Plans are always growing things, you know. You have an idea, you start to work on it, you discover certain things, you modify your plan a little bit because some things aren't going to work the way you thought they might. And so it is with the spiritual endeavors that we have or could have in our plans as well. You know, our spiritual needs may, if we assess where we should be going next, may be on very simple stages and levels. I talked this morning about the beauty of God's creation. Maybe something in our spiritual growth that needs to happen is that we need to be more appreciative of the beauty of God's ways. And we need then to somehow prompt ourselves, prime ourselves, to be more attentive to that aspect of our life experience, so that we can see more clearly what God has done and is doing, with the intention, of course, that then we may respond with appropriate praise and thanksgiving. Our plan may be that we need somehow to find ways of drawing closer to God. And that desire needs to be spurred on its way by our creating some sort of plan as to how that might possibly be accomplished. Now, as I said, when we make plans about anything, we often find they have to be modified somewhat or adjusted as a result of our experience. But there needs to be something in place in our minds, some intention that is purposeful and has some direction about it, if we are really going to grow spiritually. It may be that we want more to make prayer a part of our lives. It may be that we want to be more attentive to Scripture. It may be that we want somehow to respond to more of the opportunities that come our way in life to live the faith and to share it. And our plans, you know, must have a step-by-step aspect to them. I mean, if we just name where it is we want to get, That's not really a plan. That may be a vision or a dream, but it's not really a plan. It's like if the fair board got together and said, we're going to have a fair next year. That's not really a plan. It's an intention. But you know what happens if we make spiritual resolutions or express spiritual visions of that sort without a plan? Well, that's what I was talking about the last 2 weeks, procrastination. Because it doesn't happen. Because we have no first step mapped out for us. We're just sort of saying, that's where I want to get to, but I don't know how it's going to happen. And so having a spiritual plan, which maybe sometimes people draw back from because it seems rather mechanical, but nevertheless, if we don't have a plan, we won't get there. We need, of course, to be attentive to God's leading in our spiritual plans. For God often meets us in unexpected ways as we live our faith. And the unexpectedness of God's leading needs to be recognized and embraced. Things were happening in the days of John the Baptist that people perhaps knew were somewhere on the horizon, but John the Baptist was saying, it's now. And they had to adjust their spiritual plans accordingly. And, of course, our spiritual plans must focus on our commitment to Jesus Christ. By that I mean we may, as part of our spiritual plan, decide, you know, that there are some people around us that we ought to be more caring for or more attentive to. And we need to remind ourselves that we're doing that because of our calling in Christ. Not just because of the need, but because we're motivated to respond to the need because of our spiritual convictions. And that doesn't always get stated, but we must never forget it. That what we do is not just something that makes us a better neighbor, but that what we do because of our calling in Christ. And, of course, overarching above our spiritual plan is that desire that each day is somehow devoted to the Lord. And we approach each day again with that renewed intention. And so, there isn't some generic plan that I can hand you on a piece of paper and say, here, go do this, because it has to be personal. Our various spiritual plans and intentions for our lives may have a similarity at many points, but they must each be personal because we must each one have mapped them out and staged them in bite-sized chunks so that we can begin to approach them and progress through them. And, of course, our spiritual plan must have some sort of challenge in it. You know, sometimes we make plans that are really just, I'm going to do tomorrow what I did today. And what I'm thinking here is that we need to be challenged by our spiritual goals. Sometimes we get the timetable all wrong, but our spiritual plans must be of the sort that take us a step further in faith and commitment, somehow to bring us closer to the Lord. And in all of this, there must be joy. I mean, sometimes doing what we know we need to do is not very joyful. It's just something that has to be done. But in our spiritual plan, there must be a sense of joy, because this is our service to Christ. This is that which will make our life richer and more appreciative of God's grace. And so there must be a desire to approach this not just out of some sense of, I ought to do this, but that there is joy in being God's child. Let me take you back to a part of the lesson that John read from Colossians chapter 1. Paul is expressing his desire for the people. He's talking about his prayer for them. This fledgling Christian community in Colossae. And of course, shining through it is the fact that he expects them to be growing, changing, developing, expanding, deepening. He says, as you grow in the knowledge of God, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. That whole desire on Paul's part for the people in this Christian community of Colossae, that they would be growing, that they would be recognizing that the power to do that is not from themselves, but from the power that the Lord bestows to his people, that they're undergoing life with a sense of patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, because by his grace we have been enabled to have a place in his people. And this is a wonderful thing. And so I just call you to think about, you know, being a little more self-conscious about what your next steps are spiritually. Where do you think you should move to deepen your faith, to enrich your appreciation and relationship with the Lord, and also to live out the calling that is yours in Christ? So there's lots to think about. We each one must do it for ourselves. And in the midst of it, we thank and praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.